Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the live webcast on Father Heart TV. Tonight, we are really delighted to have with us Ingrid Wiltz from Uganda, live from Uganda. This is amazing. This is the first, so folks, you've got to have to bear with us. The sound and the video may not be brilliant, but we're really, really trying to get this as a first one. And it's wonderful to have Ingrid with us. It's 10 o'clock in Uganda in the evening. And Ingrid is sitting in her beautiful house right by the side of the River Nile. So, Ingrid, just say hello to everybody and then I'll ask you a few questions.
Hello, world. So happy to be connected. Good to be here.
Yeah, this is bringing Ingrid back into the world, because in Uganda they're suffering lockdown as much as we're suffering lockdown over in Europe. So Ingrid, before we start, tell us some of the practical arrangements of lockdown in Uganda.
It's quite a strict lockdown. So for the last 2 months, we're all at home. We're not allowed to go out in the car except for bicycles and walking. There is a curfew, so from 7 in the night to 6:30 in the morning, everybody has to be home. And food, you can get some food if you send people to do shopping for you, because you're not allowed to go to the places where there are a lot of people. So it's quite strict. Yeah, so I've been in my house for 2 months, but fortunately it's a beautiful environment, so I have really I have no complaints.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. Thank you, Ingrid. You mentioned the beautiful environment, so let's just show people what Mota Mioni looks like. This is Ingrid can't see this, but then she sees it every day. This is a picture of the Mota Mioni campus, the site, some of the houses where the guests can stay. And then this is the view of the gardens down the beautiful River Nile. And the gardens are just so beautiful and so peaceful and quiet. It's just such an amazing place. And then another view of the river and the wildlife. And the birds are just stunning. So this is just one of the little songbirds that we see in the gardens all the time. We'll talk about the youth center in a few minutes, but this is the youth center, which Ingrid and Wynette started a few years ago. You'll hear a little bit more about that just in a few moments. And then this was a school that we did a couple of years ago with some deaf pastors and some people from the Karamojong area of Uganda, a very poor area. And there's Ingrid teaching, which is great to see. And then afterwards, we just did a bonfire, a barbecue type thing with some dough sticks. So a lot of fun, a lot of beauty. It's a really, really beautiful place. So tell us, Ingrid, how long have you had Mota Mioni?
I bought this land in 93. And then started living here in 98, and we started building Mota Mioni. Wynette and I started building it in 2003, okay. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
2003. And then started our first program in 2005.
Wow. And so what is Mota Mioni, apart from a beautiful place?
We are a retreat center where we do a lot of Father Heart stuff. We're helping people to really get that revelation that God is Father and that He loves us. And that, you know, people in Africa have the same Father and the people in the West. Mm-hmm. And I am just beginning to see that when people see God and experience Him loving them, that their lives begin to change and transform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. So really you're seeing the same sort of thing happen in Uganda as we're seeing over here.
Yeah, Yeah, it's the same father, it's the same love.
Good, yeah.
And he just does amazing stuff. Yeah.
Now, it wasn't always like this, was it, Ingrid? You've been out in Uganda for, what, 30 years?
Yeah, 32, I think, now.
And I love how you describe it. You went out to Uganda to be Mother Teresa to Africa.
That was my dream. I wanted people to know how... And I wanted to do just change Uganda, yeah. And I did that with all my strength and might and my Dutch seal.
And did you yeah. succeed?
No. No, I am just seeing how arrogant I was.
So tell us, Ingrid, if you don't mind, tell us what changed.
You know what? What really changed was that I think I found my identity in what I was doing. And I really kind of worked because I wanted to change the world. And I wanted people to see that I was doing a good job. And by doing it, the underlying thought was, if I work hard for God, he will do something for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, that whole belief system got me in such a trap by working harder and harder and harder and losing the joy and the fun of life.
Mm-hmm. So did you get to a point where what changed? How did it change? What happened?
I mean, I went through a lot of trouble. And so my whole kind of concept of I do a lot for God, so he should love me, didn't work because I got from problem into problems and severe problems with, you know, false accusations, robberies, theft, a murder attempt. And so that did something to my heart. And I finally took my Bible and I said to God, I've done, you know, what your word says to do. Mm-hmm. And there I've sinned, I have asked for forgiveness. I said, but I don't have what your word is promising me, and that's alive in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went ahead and said, either your Bible is wrong or there's something very wrong with me.
And what did you discover? Did you discover that you were wrong or the Bible was wrong?
I was very arrogant to ask that question. No, I discovered that it was me. You know, that I had built such strong protective walls around my heart because I couldn't trust anybody anymore and I couldn't trust God anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that all the trouble that I was going through in life, that he was the one organizing that for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a complete wrong kind of concept of who God was.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me that really changed when that truth came to my heart that he's good all the time.
Yeah.
That he loves me, that he's for me. That's when change began.
Because up till then you'd been running a street children program and working with the poor,
yeah.
And been very busy and many people would say very productive for God.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, I was binding people to me instead of bringing them in a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because I didn't have that relationship. Yes, I had a relationship with Jesus, but I didn't know God as a father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came as a missionary sharing Jesus. But, you know, it was me doing it. It was me looking after the mm-hmm. children. And when I was not around, they say, oh, life is not good because Ingrid is not here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so unknowingly, unconsciously, my mission work was kind of drawing people to me because I didn't know how to draw them to the Father because I didn't know the Father.
Okay. So something changed. You found the Father. How did you find him, or did he find you?
Yeah, you found me. I think it was actually, I'm sorry I can't see Barry, because I just need to thank him for this love letter, because that really kind of took me to the heart when that was played in the first school in Toronto that I was in 2001. And there was a scripture, and it was underlined in my Bible, and I knew it by head. But this time it hit my heart, and the scripture was, "I am for you, I'm not against you." Mm-hmm. And that just spoke to a deep lie that I believed, that God didn't love me.
Yeah.
And you know, that hit my heart, and I just cried the whole night. I couldn't believe that God loved me, that He was for me, that He was good.
Yeah.
And that dealt with a deep, deep lie that I had believed about who God was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard your story many times, Ingrid, and heard you say that about the Father's love letter. And I've told Barry that over the years. But I know he's not live with us at the moment because of the technology and the connection problems, but he's heard that this evening for the first time in your words. And for me, that's just very powerful, because, you know, many, many people all around the world have been so touched by the Father's love letter and what Barry has brought to us through that. But just to see, and I've known you for many years, but just to see the transformation that simple revelation has brought to you. I mean, it changed everything, didn't it?
It did, absolutely. And it's just, I mean, that whole love letter is such a powerful tool.
Yeah.
Or tool, it's a truth, a powerful truth.
Yes,
truth.
That's right.
And yes, it has brought a lot of people into relationship with the Father. It brought a lot of tears here when we use it in our programs. I mean, it just speaks straight to the heart.
Sure.
And it never runs out.
Yeah.
You know, it's never old fashioned. It's so fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you, I think you're in Toronto, you're at the School of Ministry, you heard the Father's love letter, but you actually heard the Father speak to you through that. And you came back to Uganda different.
Yeah, very different. I think one of the very first things that Father asked was to kind of hand over my ministry. And, you know, that's what you started with. In my heart, I said, I want to be Mother Teresa of Uganda. And here, he's saying, will you hand over your ministry? And that was tough. Because at that time, I didn't realize that he was asking me to hand in and hand over my identity. And, you know, my whole identity was in working for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally handed it over to local leadership, he didn't give me anything to do for 1.5 years. And he said, you know, I've seen your works, but I'm not interested in your works. Mm-hmm. I want your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was tough, because I had kind of covered off my heart with the works, with the good works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And letting go of that gave you opportunity to find the life in abundance that you've been looking for.
Yeah, and that the answers of life are hidden in love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And that I had just kind of been such a person that would want to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to understand situations. I wanted to understand God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so massively big that I realize, you know, I can't understand him, but I can trust him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was what, about 2002,
2003, 4? It's about 2003, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Around 2003, 2004. And then I had already bought the land here in 93. And I always knew that I didn't have it for myself alone, but I had no idea what God wanted to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when I discovered this revelation and the healing that it brought and the journey into my true identity, I knew why I had this land, and that's when Minette and I started building it.
Yeah, beautiful. And I think we first met each other in 2005. I was in Uganda with a friend, and we were visiting a project that she was involved with, and our driver said, let's just stop at this retreat center for 20 minutes to meet two Dutch ladies. And what she said was, she said, they're into the father heart thing. So because I was so focused on getting to where we were going, I was kind of like saying, well, let's stop there for 20 minutes and see what happens. But we actually stopped at Motomioni for 2 hours, and we had the joy of meeting Ingrid and Wynette. And I know our hearts were joined, and we came back the year later and started working together. And in 2009, Trevor and Linda came over, and we did the first, 2010, I think we did the first day school. So it's just been a joy journeying over the last 15 years with Ingrid and Wynette, and seeing the beauty of what they're creating, what they've created at Motomioni. For me, it's always one of the highlights of my year. Unfortunately, Trevor and Linda and I were planning to go in August, but with all the restrictions, that's probably not going to, well, it's not going to happen now. It's just wonderful. And one of the things that I was with Ingrid, in March last year, I came over to Dene School. And the thing that really struck me is over the years, Ingrid and Wynette have built up a team of people, team of Ugandan people, mainly young people. And I remember people like Maggie. When I first came to Uganda, Maggie was cleaning the bedrooms, you know, serving the food at the tables. And now she's running the center. She's kind of like in charge of it. She's an excellent cook. But the joy is she started to teach alongside us on the schools. And that's just, that does my heart so much good. But when I went back in March last year, I said this to Ingrid at the time, there was such a difference in her team to the previous visit. Suddenly, it felt like we were really friends. And so, Ingrid, just talk to us a little bit about some of the people you've got on your staff, your team. You know, some, maybe a little bit about their journey, and the transforming power of love that you've seen in some of these young people.
We have a number of young people that are working with us in the gardens, and when you ask for stories, I'm thinking about two of them. One is Gilbert. He's a young 24-year-old guy living on the street, has been a street kid for many years. I knew him from the time that I was working with street children. And he came to one of our youth schools and stayed on to work in the garden. He just transformed so much into kind of knowing that he is a son, and he is studying now hotel management and in the weekends, and he is during the week he's here, and he is just radiating the love of the father to guests and to even now the younger boys that are coming to help us in the garden. You know, usually we do youth schools, and some of these youth don't have school fees. And the country is really focusing on education. Education, if you don't have education, you don't have a future. But during our schools, they begin to see, no, it's the heart that God looks at. And when our hearts are getting transformed, we are beginning to walk in our destiny. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing him transformed and studying and just sharing his heart with people. And that's just beautiful to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about another guy who came with us, I think in 2000, can't remember, Andrew. He was a young man and he walked past our gate. And one day he entered, he was looking for a job, and he said this to us. He said, "I'm passing the gate, and I feel that you've got something that I need."
Wow.
And so when he said that, of course, we just gave him, you know, we had to give him a job. And so he came and worked in our garden and got to know Father. And then in one of our youth follow-up weekends, one day he came to us and said, "You know what, I've never told you, but I have a child, and I'm denying my child a father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I stay with my child?" And so his child came to stay with him, and it was just so beautiful to see this young boy walking hand in hand with his father, and he was so proud that he...
Yeah.
You know, that was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mother of the child, we said, "Why don't you invite her to come for a school?" And so the mother came, and the love among the two was kindled again.
Mm-hmm.
And so a year later, we had a wedding, a small wedding in Kimioni with about 30 people, and that is very strange for Ugandan wedding.
Yeah.
But it was very small. It was the best wedding we have ever had.
Yeah.
We don't do a lot of weddings here, but for staff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just beautiful. And now he is in charge of the youth center.
Mm-hmm.
They have two more children, so three children.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to have a family, a restored family,
mm-hmm.
a redeemed
mm-hmm.
family,
yeah.
You know. And he is a father, and it's a complete family. There are so few really loving, complete families in this
wow.
country.
Yeah.
And it's just the power of Father's love.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. It's yeah. it's wonderful to hear the stories and the testimonies, you know, because I think what I see and what I've seen over the years as I've been visiting is the transforming power of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when we were talking yesterday, you said something, Ingrid, which is I thought was very key to this whole thing. You said, "Love is unseen, but love is higher."
Mm-hmm.
Can you just talk about that a little bit? Because you must have seen a lot of unseen love. I mean, you've demonstrated a lot of unseen love yourself. I know. Unconditional love to really love and accept these people, failings and all.
Yeah, I mean, it is, love is it's in the atmosphere as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had a meeting here for the town council, the municipal council now, and one of the ladies entered and she sat on the ground and she said, "I'm receiving my healing."
Mm-hmm.
You know? And nobody had said anything. Nobody had done anything.
Wow.
And so, you know, I'm beginning to see that God's love is everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But do we have eyes to see it?
Mm-hmm.
Is the heart alive
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to experience and loving us in every situation? I mean, his banner over us is love.
Mm-hmm.
And what we talked about yesterday is like our circumstances can be so tough.
Yeah.
And you know that love is in our hearts, but if we don't know that that love is in our hearts, it's still a banner over us as well.
Yeah, yes.
You know, what do we focus on? Because it's so easy to focus on our circumstances.
Yeah.
And how difficult it is. And I'm just so aware that we are invited in this book of love.
Yeah.
Where, you know, answers are found.
Mm-hmm. Now,
one of our young guys was saying, you know, at the end of our youth school, he says, "I wanted to be a terrorist, but now I'm a son."
Beautiful.
You know, I mean, he had planned to go to the Boko Haram.
Yeah.
Had researched it on the internet.
Yeah.
Was a good Christian church boy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
And love, I mean, it's, love transforms.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. See, and you know what? I just kind of feel, yes, it transforms us.
Mm-hmm.
But when it transforms us, it transforms the people, the environment around us.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I have been having moments that I would give up on. Yeah, it sounds terrible, but to give up on working hard to change Africa. You know, and I'm beginning to see that Father is having his arms wide open.
Yeah.
You know, for the whole world, but also for this continent.
Yeah, yeah.
And that when people begin to get that revelation and they begin to see that they have the same Father as you and me,
mm-hmm.
that it's not money, that it's not the schooling or the intellect,
yeah.
but that the Father looks at the heart.
Yeah.
You know, then things are going to change.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think one of the things we often think about in the West over here, and you'll be aware of this from traveling, Ingrid, is we see from the West, we're very comfortable, obviously, even in this time of lockdown and the virus, we're still very comfortable. You know, really we are. But obviously in Uganda, life is much more stark. And I think there's a tendency over here to think maybe it's easier for people in Africa to get hold of this revelation. But my experience just as a casual visitor is it's pretty much, you know, human nature is pretty much the same the world over. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your comment on that?
I can only talk about myself. I needed to come to a kind of desperation
mm-hmm.
in order to go to my heart. When I saw that my works were not giving me what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do see is that, yes, the walls are very high around the hearts here, but people can also not hide their heart so easily as in the West
mm-hmm.
because they don't have the finances for entertainment or, you know. And so once they get connected to love, it goes very fast and very deep.
Wow.
And, you know, if Joel says he wants to give us back double of what the locusts have eaten, and you see, literally the locusts are here now, I mean, that gives me so much hope for this continent.
Yeah, yeah. So would you say that we, in the West, we can hide, it's easier for us to hide our hearts away, whereas in Uganda, maybe the hearts are nearer the surface?
I think so.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Ugandans are far more spiritual people and we are more rational people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so in a way, it's easier for them to come in touch with their hearts.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think it's, you know, I kind of feel like I've received something that this, yeah,
yeah.
that this country, that we are all human beings. Are looking for.
Yeah. See, I mean, we obviously talk about this a lot, you know, in the schools and the things we do, but how important it is that our hearts are touched and transformed. And really what I suppose I'm trying to get at is, you've seen some pretty major heart transformations. And, you know, do you feel that you've seen a key that maybe would help the rest of us to allow our hearts to be touched?
Sorry, I missed the sentence.
Do you think
can you,
we really talk a lot about our hearts being touched. And, you know, and what you're talking about now is you seeing people's hearts transformed. And what is the key to really touching the heart?
Not so long ago, Father said to me, is the only thing that I'm asking of you is one thing, and I do the rest. And that one thing is that you keep your heart open.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought about that, and it's so easy for us to close down our hearts. When life goes different than we wanted, when, you know, we disagree with someone, immediately we take control over our lives and we fight for our rights and for, you know. And we had a young man in our last school, and he was a Muslim, but he wanted to come. And he was just so deeply touched by the love of God.
Wow.
And he's now working for us, and he is simply in love. He liked us the whole school, but, you know, and but he cried so much that I thought Father was touching his heart with love. And when we found out that he had lied to us, I said to him, "But why were you crying?" It's because I didn't know how to stop lying.
Wow.
And, you know, when the truth finally came out, he's now working for us.
Beautiful.
He's a night watchman, and he is just a transformed man.
Wow.
And of course, he's now living on the compound, and in these 2 months of lockdown, we came together with four of the guys that are staying in the compound because nobody was allowed to walk and go home. So four people volunteered to stay at the compound, and we had an amazing, you know, 2 months where we would meet every day an hour. Talk about life and love and Father's love, and it's amazing.
Good. Just like to pick up on something you said at the very beginning about identity, and we were talking about this yesterday when we were having our test run. You know, one of the things I've often wondered about my own life is, you know, I do a lot of A schools, I do a lot of conferences, and one of the questions I've always had is, if it stopped, you know, would I suddenly realize that my identity was in doing the schools and doing the conferences and, you know, doing the stuff? Well, of course, everything has stopped now. I mean, you know, my diary is clear till October probably. And I was just reflecting on this thing the other day and thinking, well, actually, everything's stopped. And, you know, I enjoy doing it. I love doing it. I love working with people like Ingrid and Wynette and Trevor and Linda, and you know, that's a real joy to me. But actually, I just was reflecting the other day that in my heart, although I miss some of the things, I still feel like I know I'm a son. And you know, in a sense, it's been quite a good thing for me to actually stop and see that, you know, my identity is not in what we do. And that's really something you were saying at the beginning, and that's been the transformation of your journey. It's a very, very common thing, I think. People, you know, before we have a revelation of the love of the Father, we're very much caught up with living as a servant and doing, trying to be a good Christian and doing the right thing. But when we have an encounter with the love of the Father, it changes everything. And you know, sometimes we don't really know what's changed until we hit a crisis like we're in at the moment. But Ingrid, I mean, I know you've been through this over the last few years. It's been your journey, as you know, it's been my journey. It's been many of our journeys. Just talk a little bit more to us about our identity as sons and what that really looks like for you or us.
I think for me personally, it hasn't been a real easy journey because I've been very much in control over my own life. And I think it's been the growing down and the letting go and the not knowing but simply trusting. That was the hardest. And I can just see over the years that, you know, living as a son is kind of knowing that I'm loved 24/7, and that whatever situation I'm in, I can embrace it because that love is stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I would try to change my circumstances. I would fight for it. I would work for it very hard. And now I'm trying to simply embrace it and say, this is the way it is. But, you know, my father is above this. He's mm-hmm. bigger mm-hmm. than me.
Yeah, yeah.
Bigger than my circumstances.
Yeah.
And it's kind of really that letting go of being in control.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy, I wanted to say.
Yeah. And I think for all of us at this time of lockdown, it's probably pushed different buttons in all of us, different responses. You know, in some ways it's nice to have a quieter and a slower pace of life. You know, there's less traffic and all of that sort of thing. But, you know, for us as a family, we're missing seeing our family. I think one of the things that struck me, quite strongly over the last few weeks is how much we've lost. And how much we need to recognize the loss that we've suffered, and allow the Father to comfort us in that time of loss and in that time of mourning and grieving. Because, you know, it's different things. I mean, for example, Ingrid's the loss of being able to get into her vehicle and drive places. You know, the loss of being able to get on an aeroplane and come home. The loss of us being able to go and visit her, you know. So have you seen that amongst your team as well, the sort of sense of loss and grief in the lockdown?
We have very, very few cases still, so we're not sure whether we're at the beginning of the whole thing. And so nobody has any sick people around them. So their only change is loss of salary, really. And that's a major thing.
Sure.
But, you know, that's when, you know, it's beautiful to see that we're part of a worldwide family and we're able to kind of give them half of their salary. Mm-hmm. And new things are emerging for them.
Wow.
You know, one is beginning to bake chapati, like pancakes, and selling them.
Yeah.
And others started doing little gardens in bucks and grow their own vegetables. And, mm-hmm. and you know, we last week, we after 6 weeks, we came together. And none of them was complaining.
Wow.
You know, they were all kind of happy to be back and testifying on how Father had looked after them.
Mm. Amazing. It's beautiful, isn't
and,
it?
You know, and so I just, you know, as you say, it changes everything. We didn't have any complaints. They came here. The garden was very bushy after 6 weeks. And so I said, are you guys willing to come and work voluntarily? Everybody said yes. And I had finished speaking, and then text comes in, and a friend of ours says, oh, I want to contribute towards salary. And, you know, we were all there.
Ah.
I mean, that such an amazing, you know,
yeah.
timing, and, you know, for them to see for sure, you know, Father is with us.
Yeah, wonderful.
And
yeah, that's good. Can we just talk for a few moments about the youth school? Let me just put the pictures back up of the, this is the, Motamione's got two sites. It's got the main site, which is the round huts, which Ingrid started 2003-2004, and really built that up for their main centre for programmes. What was it, 2011-2012, you started building the youth centre?
Yeah.
And it's a separate site, a little bit further down the river. So tell us about the youth centre.
In 2013, we started our first youth school. Like 75% of the population is under 25 in Uganda. So it's kind of a very, very young nation, and also a very corrupt nation. So I really felt like if we want to make a major change, we have to start with young people. And so we were able to buy more land along the river and build this youth center and doing youth schools with ex-street children, ex-child soldiers, orphans, and children who have family, anybody who wants to kind of get this encounter with the love of the Father. And so we do A-school material, Father Heart stuff. We do some inner healing stuff. And it's just very nice to see lives being transformed. You know, just, I don't know if you've read it in the news, but Uganda has been really suffering with flooding on top of the corona. And one of the girls that was in our last youth school sent a picture on how her whole house had been submerged and they all had to evacuate with the whole family and staying in a school. Mm-hmm. But there was no word of complaint. You know, we have a WhatsApp group with sons and daughters, and she sent that picture, and we were all everybody was encouraging her. And then she just said, but I know Father takes care of us. You know, it's mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. And to have that, you know, when somebody has lost everything, and you get testimonies like that, then I'm thinking, you know, we can do so much in mm-hmm. programs, strategizing and having ideas.
Yeah.
And but he who created us knows.
Yeah, yeah. And so the youth's accommodation is budget accommodation to try and attract more people. I love the toilets, the bathrooms. Instead of men's and ladies, it's sons and daughters. They got the signs outside, sons and daughters. But again, it's a very beautiful place, a very peaceful place. So you do the youth school, what, once or twice a year, and then you have follow-up weekends?
Yeah. We did it usually once a year and then a month. But we also realized that the culture is so rooted in fear that when the walls of the hearts were down, there was no inner structure whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the last week of the school, we were almost policemen.
Yeah. So
we did a bit. Yeah. Sorry?
No, we lost you for a minute, but you said you were almost policemen for the last week of the school.
Yeah. Yeah, because they saw there was no punishment, there wasn't, you know, there were no sticks to beat them. And so now what we did last year was to have 2 times 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then for people who really wanted to go deeper, they could come back to a second school, like a follow-up school.
Yeah.
And that was our plan for this year as well. But of course, we have no idea how things develop here. Yeah. No. As groups are not able to come together, so we just have to wait and see how this would develop further.
Yeah. So just tell us briefly, Ingrid, about Philip and his contact with the Karamoja tribe.
Philip is a pastor, a Karamojong tribe. The Karamojong is the most rejected tribe in the country. And we got to know Philip, and you know, he so received his identity as a son and started working with us. And of course, he had a history of living on the street, and so he just so communicates well with the young people and helping them to see their true identity as sons, that they don't need to live under almost kind of this rejection that the whole country is laying on them, mm-hmm. but that they discover that they're so valuable yeah. in the eyes of God and for this country, that mm-hmm. it's not a mistake that they're Karamojongs.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what you can't see, Ingrid, is I've just put a photograph on the screen for everybody else to see, which is from the B school that Trevor and I did a couple of years ago. And I think probably half of the people in that room there are deaf pastors or deaf people, and the other half are from the Karamojong tribe. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful time seeing hearts just being so radically transformed by love. Beautiful week. And so, Ingrid, what would you say to us? I mean, we're coming to sort of towards the end of our time. It's, you've seen many, many lives transformed, and maybe some lives have been transformed for a short period of time and others maybe for a longer period of time. Other people are growing in it and living in it. What would you say has been the key for people to really understand what it is to be a son?
That it's all about the heart.
Yeah, that simple.
That it's all about keeping our hearts open.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the whole society, everywhere, we are focusing on our mind, on our understanding, on our analytical and intellectual capacities.
Yeah.
But I've just seen that when the heart is open, he takes us beyond our dreams.
Yeah. One of the questions I often am asked is how do we keep our heart open?
By feeling the pain that life brings.
Wow.
And allowing Father to comfort us, I think.
Yeah. It's we have to go through the first part of that answer to get to the second part, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to feel the pain that life brings and then allow the Father to comfort us. If we hide our pain, we just bury it.
Yeah, and protect ourselves
and then
for the next one of hurts us.
Yeah. Ingrid, I've had a very practical question come to me via text while we've been online, which I'll just read out to you, and you can answer if you can. Please ask Ingrid, the person says, how big the food costs are for schools and the salary costs of the staff at Motumioni. So, like, what you get the feeling of it.
Right. I think our monthly budget for our staff costs is €2,500 that we need monthly for full salaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we give. And from that money, people then buy their own food.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah. Food isn't an issue. And the government hasn't allowed individuals to do food aid.
Yeah.
But we have a relationship with 15 very old people in the village.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of smuggling. Oh, is this online? Can you cut this out?
A different word, Ingrid. You are ministering to the poor.
We're bringing some food to friends.
Yes.
Anyway.
So, that's good. Thank you. So in terms of the, again, the practical question, we obviously are very aware of what a school would cost over here in the West. What would it cost, say, what in euros, roughly what is the cost for someone to attend an A school in Motumioni?
We have different kind of rates, and I haven't got them in my head, unfortunately. But the website has everything.
Okay, there's a website, motumioni.org, which has got everything. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It's just a question that someone asked in the chat, so I thought I'd respond to it. But
I think let them go to the website.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to. Just before we finish, Ingrid, just in a moment, I'd like to ask you to pray for us and whatever you want to pray. But first of all, just before we start praying, it's been a real joy having Ingrid with us tonight. And, we've been doing the webcast for 10 years, and I know those of you who are regulars, you will have heard me talk about Motumioni many, many times and maybe shown some photographs and talked about Ingrid and Wynette, and you know how close to my heart this is. And those of you who know Trevor and Linda, you know how close this is to their heart as well. And I hope tonight, as we've been listening to Ingrid's share her heart with us. We've actually seen, we've touched Ingrid's heart, which is wonderful. And thank you, Ingrid. And we've touched, I think, the heart of Mota Meoni as well. And I want to just encourage, I just want to leave this with you, that if you feel prompted to give in any way, you can do that through the fatherheart.uk website and just leave it as a donation for schools and mission or something. And anything that comes through, we'll send over to Mota Meoni. We want to be a blessing to them. But, you know, if you want to do that, feel free, you know, just leave that with you. But Ingrid, just as we close, thank you so much for coming. I'm really sorry we couldn't have Barry on with us. But he has heard you say, you know, what the Father's Love Letter meant for you in your journey. But would you just like to pray for us? We've got 70 people on live at the moment, and probably within the next hour or so, there's going to be several hundred people watching. And so, would you just, whatever's on your heart to pray, would you like to pray for us?
Sure. Father, we so thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're pouring your love into our hearts at this moment. And I want to thank you that you know every detail of our lives. Mm. Father, it's a difficult time, but we just want to say thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that you're bigger than our circumstances. Mm. Thank you that this situation is not out of your control.
Yeah.
But thank you that you're going to use it for your own good.
Yeah.
And Father, we have no idea how you're going to use that. But we just so need to be encouraged by your love.
Mm.
Father, when we just feel that life gets tough and hard, will you just teach us to keep our hearts open to you? Because you will never leave us. You're always with us. So, Father, this season of lockdown, will you just draw us closer to your heart?
Mm.
And just give us a deeper revelation that everything we need in life is hidden in you. And we're in you.
Mm.
Wow. Thank you, Father.
Yes, thank you, Father. Yeah, thank you, Father. Father, thank you. It's all about the power of your love. And Father, we just want to take a few moments to let that love that Ingrid has been talking about soak into our hearts. That, Father, the stories we've heard of people who've been transformed by love, that can happen to us. And, Father, would you let your love find a resting place in our heart? Father, we open our hearts to you. We thank you that you're loving us right now. And, Father, your love is unseen, but is higher and deeper and wider and longer than all of the circumstances of our life. And so, Father, we just take this opportunity right now to soak and receive your love. Father, that you are loving us right now. Father, would you pour your love into each and every heart all around the world? Thank you, Father. And Father, we just ask your blessing and your favor would be on Ingrid and Mota Meoni and all the staff, for Maggie and Andrew and Ben and Gilbert and all of the rest of them. Father, that your love would surround them, and that you would provide all their needs. Father, you'd keep them safe. You'd keep them in a place of rest and a place of peace. And Father, we just ask that just as your love envelops them, it would envelop us. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Amen. Amen. There we go. Ingrid, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really feel connected to the world after a long time. Thank you for this opportunity.
There's a world out here. Okay, folks, thanks for joining us. Next week, we're back again, same time, same place. And next week, we have as our guests, we have Leonard and Leslie Hayes from America. So hopefully Barry and I will be able to be in conversation with them. We welcome you back next Wednesday. The video of this evening's recording and the audio will be available tomorrow. I'm just looking at some of the Ingrid can't see this, but I'm looking at some of the comments that are coming in at the moment. A lot of encouragement for you, Ingrid. Trevor says, pour your love out on all of them at Motomioni. Mike Hammond says, this has been so good for our hearts. Thank you for joining us. Big blessing and daddy hugs. Bob Mulrooney says, so good to see you, Ingrid. Wish we could have been there with you.
Yeah.
John Ladlow says, Father, spoil your children in Uganda. Yeah, a lot of positive encouragement and support. And there's a worldwide family cheering you on, Ingrid. So bless you. Thank you. And good night, I guess. It's nearly 11 o'clock at night. Okay, so we'll disconnect the recording now, but thank you all for coming and we'll see you next week.